Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you're a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. So today's episode centers on Ethan Coen and Trisha Cook's Driveaway Dolls. Well, we have a lot of thoughts on this. You'll hear more, but if you've seen our TikTok, you know my thoughts on it at least, but Angelina's are going to be a surprise. I wanted to ask you, surprise me. Okay, they spend a lot of time in lesbian bars mm-hmm. in this movie. Have you ever been to a lesbian bar?
Sadly, no. Okay, I've never been. So. Yeah, I've only been to like events for pride events or when they're like, oh, come, and it's like an LGBTQ plus friendly space. But I have yet to go to a lesbian bar, which is on my bucket list. Have you?
No. I mean, there's only like 36 I know, right now
and
currently.
More are closing, which is crazy.
Yeah. So no, I've never been to one. I went to LA Pride in like 2000. Maybe 13 mm-hmm. and the Palms, I think it's called. They talk about it on the L word,
yeah.
which is like a very old school lesbian bar, mm-hmm. was near where they were having LA Pride. And I wanted to go in there, mm-hmm. but I was hammered. I was like really drunk.
You couldn't make it.
And we were like walking back to the hotel and I was like, oh my God. And Wah was like, my wife was like, no, we're going back. And then it closed. I think that was like the year that it closed. It was closing. So I remember extra wanting to go because of that, but also mm-hmm. I was like really drunk. I was too drunk.
Yeah.
I also remember that I was like, whenever I would drink, I really wanted pizza. Like, so I was like walking around LA being like, I want pizza. And so then my wife had to get me like a slice of pizza.
She's like, lesbian bar or pizza?
Yeah,
pizza's like, easier to get you to.
I need the pizza. So yeah, I mean, I don't think there are really any near us at all.
I don't think so.
There's not even really a gay bar near us.
At all.
There are things where like they have special like one night events.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to them because it feels like, at least in our area, the, like, lesbian events that they have, they kind of seem like they're geared towards single lesbians. Like, I don't know. So it feels weird to me.
Well, there was that event we were going to go, but then we ended up not going. I understand what you mean. Sometimes it's like, if it's special events, it definitely feels like come and mingle, which is great. Like, go and see other ones. But obviously, we're both in relationships. Yeah. So we're like,
okay.
Yeah. We're like, okay, I guess we can go. I mean, one of these days, we'll all have to go to like,
I know.
Give a review. But
yeah.
Until then, no.
Yeah.
Let's let the single lesbians find their future partners. Yeah.
It would be cool to someday go to a lesbian bar. I think there are still some, or at least one in San Francisco, the Lexington Club or something. I think that still exists.
I wanted to go to that,
but I don't really go to San Francisco ever, so it's not like it's that close to me. Okay, I guess I kind of knew that was going to be your answer, but I thought maybe you were going to be like,
actually, I have.
I went to this place. So interesting. Let us know in the comments if you've been to a lesbian bar or if there's like a lesbian bar near you, because there are so few. So I'm curious if there's any close to anyone that as a listener. So we can talk about our hot takes or burning desires. Is there anything that you want to share?
Yes, I feel like my hot take is a little boring, but I know a lot of lesbians liked this movie and I had high hopes too. When I heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, Caitlin, we, you know, how cool. But I did not like it. So maybe that's a hot take to some people.
The hot take is I don't like it.
The hot take is I don't like it because I've seen a lot of people say like, I like this movie. I love it. And I think the general opinion is I like it. So yeah. What is your hot take?
Yeah, I said I understand that this is supposed to be a B movie and it's supposed to be campy, but I still don't like it. And I feel validated in my haterism of this because I feel like this movie to me, as a lesbian, I resent your laughter at this movie. But you know, I really felt like it was making a joke of lesbians and acting like we're obsessed with dildos. And I don't like it. It made me feel weird. I know that there are some lesbians that probably are really, really into dildos, and that's fine. But it just made it seem like they're like obsessed with these like dildos and like, oh, she just can't help herself but like fuck herself with it. And I was like,
yeah,
this is too much, girl. I don't know. I don't know. Have some self-control. Have some dignity, ma'am. So yeah, I still don't like it. I will say that I rewatched it for this and I had watched it before.
Yeah.
And I kind of hated it slightly less the second time I watched it.
We just have to watch it like 10 more times and then maybe we'll like it. Yeah. And be like, we have a new opinion, guys.
Yeah, I doubt it. But maybe.
You hate it more after like the blast.
I'm like, actually, I've changed my mind. It's worse. So we're going to take a quick break now. And when we get back, we'll get into the recap. Check your answering machine messages real fast and get back here. Welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week, we are discussing Driveaway Dolls. So this movie, first of all, was originally called Driveaway Dykes. I think that's important to note since we're talking about the name of the movie. Yes. I'm going to tell you personally, I was really excited about this movie. We went to our local movie theater. I don't even remember what we saw, but like we saw the poster for this movie before it came out. Yeah. And we were like, oh, this looks kind of gay. Cause I think it had like a open legs or something or like a woman shaped silhouette on the cover. And then like a car, like on the poster. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hey, look at this. And then my wife was like, oh, it says beanies in it. Beanie Feldstein. Yes. So we were like, oh, I love Beanie. Okay, cool. And then my wife really wanted to watch it because she's one of those lesbians that loves Pedro Pascal.
And he's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's like, we have to watch it for Pedro. So I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, that girl from Maid is in it.
Yes, I love that show.
So that was a good show on Netflix. Yeah. Margaret Qualley, but I didn't know anything else about her, except I know that she's straight and they keep casting her as a lesbian, which is kind of interesting. But she's kind of hot in this, but I don't like her character. I just think she looks kind of hot, objectively.
She does look very attractive.
Yeah,
but
she's like, she's
everything
tall,
else about
and
it.
And she's got like the.
I liked her style. I liked her outfits. I was like, okay, yes, but like.
Her character.
Yeah.
Her character was so obnoxious.
Yeah, it's one of those rare moments where it's like, even though the character is hot and they're doing all these like awful things, we excuse it. But this time her personality is just a no-go.
Yeah, it overshadowed it.
It really,
really
did.
Bad Southern accent that she's doing through this whole movie.
It was so
distracting.
I had to like stop it and then watch it the next day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't get over it. It's so distracting to me that I'm not even paying attention to the movie.
No, it was like, and I want to say again, because people kept telling me on TikTok, well, you just don't understand it, okay? Like, it's supposed to be a B movie. It's supposed to be, I mean, like a film bro. No film bros were talking to me. It was like film lesbians.
I was
film
like, we're film
talking.
Bros talking
But they're
to
like, you understand, okay? Like, this is a B movie. It's supposed to be camp. Like, it's supposed to be bad. And I'm like, okay, but I still am allowed to have my opinion. And I think that But I'm a Lesbian is a camp movie and they did a good job being campy. This But Wait, I'm a cheerleader. But I'm a cheerleader.
I was like, but I'm a lesbian.
Girl,
but I'm a lesbian.
Changed the name.
It's okay.
I think that an example of a movie that was camp and did a good job was But I'm a Cheerleader.
Yes.
But I feel like this did not do a good job. And so, and you know what? I looked up what's a B movie because I was like, am I confused? And there are B movies that I like because Little Shop of Horrors is considered a B movie. Yeah. And I fucking love Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors is so fucking good. But also, this felt like they were trying. Like, it was trying to not be a B movie, which is why I felt like it wasn't. And I'm like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah, it was just weird. Anyway, I'll actually get into the recap instead of just shitting all over it. So, it's set in 1999, which I love because I think I've talked about this before. I love 1999 because I was 9 years old. You were born.
I was born.
You were
yay!
Born then, but at the very end. And I feel like it was like the summer of 1999 is a summer that I remember really clearly. Like as I was like, you know, in my tweenhood. And I remember that very clearly from my childhood.
Aww, that's
so
nice.
I like 1999. Anyway, so we open in Philadelphia. So we're in Philadelphia. I've never been to Philadelphia. Have you?
No.
Okay. I used to live in Pennsylvania for a really short amount of time. I don't know if I talked about this on the pod, but the town I lived in, it was called Beaver. so it was That's Beaver, Pennsylvania. And
all the signs were pointing.
I know. I think also around that time was when I had my mom paint a giant rainbow in my room.
Oh, like, my God.
And I have a picture of me somewhere in like my photo albums of me standing there like with my cool rainbow room. Anyway, so gay. But yeah, our team was the Beaver Badgers or the Beaver Bearcats or something. It was like, why can't we just be the Beaver Beavers? I thought that was weird, but I guess whatever.
They had to add more, I guess. Yeah.
I also had a crush on my PE teacher there. Her name was Miss Horwat. I actually have like looked her up kind of recently. And I think she still works there. I don't think she's a lesbian. But she gives lesbian vibes. She probably just wasn't out then because it was like 2002.
That's true.
Anyway, so we open in Philadelphia at like a bar type of restaurant. And we see Pedro Pascal and he's holding a briefcase. And he looks all like kind of nervous. And then he leaves and he's walking outside and he's still holding the briefcase. And then we see that the waiter from the restaurant is following him in the dark. Mm-hmm. And then Pedro starts like running. And then the waiter guy is chasing him. And then we find out that Pedro's character's name is Santos.
Yeah.
But I think later we hear his whole name, but whatever. We're going to just refer to him.
I only remembered Santos.
Okay. Okay. Because he's like, hey, Santos. Like, I don't know. He says something like that. And then the waiter is like, give me the briefcase. And Pedro doesn't immediately give it to him. So he like kills him with a corkscrew, like in his like neck. Mm-hmm. And then also a pen or a knife in the side of the neck. I don't know. Were there two weapons?
Yes, there were two. He was like going from both and then Pedro's just screaming. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then another guy comes up and steals the briefcase and then takes it to a car and they drive away. So we're like, okay. I was like, what does this have to do with lesbians?
That's what I thought too. I'm like, are they okay? Yeah.
Also, it was funny because we watched the movie because my wife wanted to see him and he was in it for like a minute.
Literally, less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. So anyway, then we cut to. Now we see lesbians. We cut to a sex scene with Margaret Qualley, a.k.a. Jamie. Her character's name is Jamie in this. Yeah. She's going down on another girl, and then she gets a voicemail. I guess, was it like called voicemail? An answering machine message.
Yeah.
While she's having sex with the friend. The friend's name is?
Carla.
Okay. She's having sex with Carla, and her friend Marion calls and is, like, leaving a message. And, but she doesn't. I don't think she answers this time because she's like listening to the message.
Yeah, she just listens to it while she's having sex. And
yes.
She's like, are you going to the party?
Yeah. Okay. And then we see Marion and she's like at work. So we're like, okay, she was calling from work to talk to her friend. And a man is hitting on her, a man that works there. And he's like, oh, do you like want to go see Fish tonight? And she's like, no. And he's like, it's a band, you know. Like, he's like, something I know. Like that. She's like, I know.
Oh, yeah, like how to spell it. He's
he's like, it's PH fish. And it's like, yeah, I don't just fucking like, I know. Leave me alone, weirdo. Anyway, and then Marion calls again, and then Jamie answers, and she's like, don't call me during sex. I told you not to.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want her to know that she is having sex, because I think we then find out, like, she's supposed to be with a different girl. She's not supposed to be doing stuff with this girl.
She answers the phone, but someone else, like, she has her on the other line. She has Marion on the other line, and Suki is on the line. And she's like, what do you mean you're having sex? And she's like, oh, no, I'm just masturbating. It's just – the video's, like, really loud. Like, let me turn it down. And Marion's like, hello. And so she's already – a cheater, we can find out, because she's not supposed to be having sex.
I think I was confused by the whole situation.
I thought so too, but when I watched it again, I was like, oh, the line, like she put her on hold.
Oh, because there used to be like in Mean Girls when like they're like calling and they're like, they said, but like they were talking shit about each other on the lines. Okay, anyway, that's not that important. Anyway, she's supposed to be with Suki.
Yeah.
Is the point. And she's not. She's going down on Carla. And so then we cut to a lesbian bar, and Marion is there. She's watching Jamie, who's kind of like hosting this like body shot competition. And like, I don't know if they ever say what Jamie's sign is, but she gives like really big Leo energy, because she's like, I'm the center of attention. I'm basically like hosting this.
She
like,
gives me Leo Gemini vibes.
Okay. Yeah. I could see the air sign-ness. Yeah. anyway, so then they show that Suki, who is, I keep wanting to say Suki, like Suki, like True Blood, but it's Suki, who is played by Beanie. It's like being a hater about Jamie, and she's like, oh, she's a slut, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so then I think we realize that that's the one that she's dating.
Yeah.
She sees her being kind of scandalous on the stage. So she like goes up, and apparently she punches her.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I know this is like supposed to be funny, but like, just because they're both girls doesn't mean that they can hit each other.
Exactly.
Okay, domestic violence is not okay.
It's not.
In any circumstance.
Yeah.
And so later we see Jamie on the couch, and she has like peas or whatever on her eye, because her girlfriend punched her and I guess broke up with her.
Yeah, she now has to move out.
So she's going to have to like move out, and she's like complaining about love to Marion. She's like, ugh. Love is the worst, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, maybe if you weren't a cheater, it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, maybe if you didn't cheat, obviously you shouldn't have got a black eye, but maybe if you didn't cheat, then you would still be together.
Yeah, like, she just bothers me already. And she's doing this stupid accent the whole time. She's supposed to be from Texas, and so she's doing this, like, over-the-top accent. Anyway, Marion says, well, I'm going to go to Tallahassee to go visit my aunt. And Jamie's like, oh, cool, I need to go on a trip, like, to, like, clear my mind. And she's like, I didn't invite you, but okay. and so she's like, we could do a drive away. And I've never heard of this before. And Marion had also never heard of this. So apparently a drive away is or was a thing where like you contact like a car rental company and you're like, hey, do you have any cars that need to go like near Tallahassee? Mm-hmm. And basically you, I think, get to do it like for free because you're like delivering it for them. Or you get like a discount.
You get a discount, I think.
Yeah, because you're like delivering it to the other location or whatever, where it needs to go. And yeah, so that's pretty cool. And so then she's like, I guess we can do a driveway, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the next day, they're moving Jamie's stuff out of Suki's house. And then they show Suki's trying to remove this like glittery wall dildo. And she's, that's the first time I think that they make a big point out of dildos. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
dildo wall made me laugh,
like,
actually.
I hate penetration. And that's not the case. I just hate the idea that lesbians are obsessed with phallic things. I don't know. Anyway, so she is also complaining about this cute chihuahua that I guess Jamie convinced her to get. And she's like, I don't even like that dog, da da da. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't like Suki. She's a cunt. Because how can you hate a cute little chihuahua? This is like, if we were to talk about like red flags just in like people, like if you don't like dogs, or if you don't like cats, I don't think I could like be your friend.
You don't like animals? I think you're a bad
person. Like, sorry. So I think Suki is a bad person.
She already is because she hit Jamie too.
Oh, yeah.
So she's got a lot of red flags. She was a bad
person. Yeah. Okay. So then they go to the car place with the dildo sticking out of the box, which I thought was really weird because it's like the late 90s. They're going to a car rental place with like a creepy old man and they just have like a sex toy like out of the – I don't know how they're not scared of getting hate crimed. And like, maybe I should be like proud of them for like being like – loud and proud, but I'm like scared for them because like
that's, and also the reality is that you most likely would like they would like, probably be really mean and not like,
or they would just be creepy and be like, oh, don't you want a real, you know what I mean, like that's how like men are, like I wouldn't go with a sex toy hanging out to go talk to
just put it in your pocket
like weird. And then actually one time I told you this story,
I was like, are you gonna tell the story? Okay.
One time we used to have to go to the laundromat until relatively recently. We have like a washer and dryer at our house. But we went to the laundromat one time and for some reason I had like one of those, it was like the like, I think it's called like a rabbit one. So it's like a dildo thing with like the little like bunny ears. Mm-hmm. And literally I hadn't even like used it yet. We just like got it for free from like, remember when the boxes were really cool? Like you would get like a beauty box every month. It's when like BarkBox started. They had like a sex toy box. It was called like Spicy Box. And I signed up for it and I got this. Anyway, point being, for some reason it was in the hamper, like wrapped in something. And we went to put the clothes in the washer and it fell out on the ground in like this hick town. and it just like rolled across the ground. It was so awkward. My wife was so mad at me. She was so embarrassed. She was
like, Caitlin, goddamn it.
It's okay. No one saw. Anyway, so I would not be going purposely having it stick out of the hamper. Okay. So they're like, hey, do you have anything that needs to go like near Tallahassee, any driveaways? And the guy's like, oh yeah, actually, like I just got a call for one. So you must be the people for it. Because he had gotten like kind of a shady call apparently that was like, my people are going to come in and you need to take this specific car to Tallahassee. And so he thought they were the people. This is where the stories connect. This is, Okay, so then we see them at the apartment planning the trip. And they have like a big map, which reminds me, I'm so glad I became an adult in the time period that I became an adult. Because at least when I started driving... we had MapQuest. So like you didn't have to use like a old school like map and like map it out. Because I would be so fucking lost if I had to like actually use a map and like follow the route. But anyway, she's like marking all these gay bars that she wants to stop at. So like she's like,
but good for you for still finding out how to use like, cause you told me it was like directions, like turn here, turn there. But still, I mean, people get lost even with like,
did you never Apple use MapQuest? Cause it wasn't like a thing by the time.
Okay. Well, no, my parents did, and they did, but I was just sitting there like, okay, we get there when we get there. I have no idea what we're doing.
I remember having to either print it out or because I never really, like, had a printer when I was, like, a young adult, so I would have to, like, pull it up on my computer, write it down on a piece of paper, and then have the paper near me as I'm driving and, like, trying. It's still kind of hard. I can't imagine how hard it would be if you were driving by yourself with a map because I had to be like, oh, I have to get off on this exit or whatever.
Just have it on the passenger seat.
Yes. Just trying. I'm like, so anyway, she wants to make, like, a fun trip out of it. She wants to try to get laid, I'm sure.
She does.
That is, she's like the Shane. Like,
all the lesbian bars, let's go.
Yeah. And so we see then at the driveaway shop, we see some guys looking for the car. And the owner guy is like, oh, I already gave it to those girls. I thought those were the people. And they're like, what the fuck? And then we find out that this car had the briefcase in it. That briefcase that Santos got killed for. And so Curly, the guy that owns the driveway, is in big trouble with the bad guys because of this. And then he gives them the phone number to reach the girls because they had to give a local number, but they gave Suki's number and they beat him up anyway. And then we cut to scene Jamie and Marion like about to leave, and Jamie wrote on the car like, love is
a sleigh ride on hell.
Love is a sleigh ride to hell.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you write on this borrowed car?
Yeah.
I hope she's that it so will come quirky, off, guys. But anyway,
she just doesn't care.
I was like, she is rude and annoying. That's what I wrote.
She's disrespectful.
Yes. Okay. And then she says her plan is to get Marion laid. And they get to a hotel. And they ask the guy working the front desk where the dyke bar is. And they're like, we're dykes, blah, blah, blah. And that was another thing where I was like, I'm proud of them for, like, living, yeah. like, loud and proud. But I'm, like, also scared for them. Because they're, like, seems like they're in, like, a kind of, like, a small town yes. type of thing. And they're asking a random old probably straight man where the dyke bar is.
Yeah.
And they ask for other lesbian stuff. I don't know. I don't remember what else they say. And so the next scene is them arriving at a lesbian bar called the Butter Churn. And Jamie is like telling Marion, like, choose someone to fuck. And Marion ends up leaving because she's not into casual sex. And mm-hmm. Jamie stays behind. Because she is into casual sex. If we didn't already understand that from her cheating yeah. with the other girl. And there's nothing wrong with being into casual sex. I want to know that I'm not slut-shaming anyone. But I would be the Marion in this situation. Maybe when I was drinking, I was, like, more into it. Because, like, drunk Caitlin is a completely different person. But, like, I'm, like, basically, like... I would say I'm, like, demisexual. I feel like I don't have an attraction to somebody unless I'm, like, actually attracted to, like, their mind or, like, I have to have, like, an attraction to, like,
not just who physical, they are, but not like, just, like, yeah.
their body to, like, I never see somebody, I mean, I've been in a relationship for a long time, so I think it would be weird if I was, like, looking at random people on the street and being, like, I want to fuck them, but I never did that. I never like did before when yeah, I was single. Yeah. So anyway, Marion is, like, reading at the hotel, and then Jamie brings a girl back to the hotel to have sex with, and I feel like that's really rude.
That is. She just made her leave. She like, made she Marion just looked at her leave, like.
And so Marion, like, goes and sits at the front desk, like, lobby with that old man while they're doing stuff, and I feel like that's so rude.
She's reading her book, and it's late at night, too. Why would you kick your friend out? That's yeah. very inconsiderate.
And also, she invited herself on this trip. Like, you know, it wasn't even her trip, so I'm like, she's so rude. Okay. So then they show the car outside and they show the briefcases in it in case we didn't already put that together. They're yeah. like, look, the briefcase is in here. And then the next day we see Jamie driving and Marion is in the passenger seat. And Marion tells Jamie she doesn't think that she should have brought someone back to the room. And Jamie's like, how am I supposed to read your mind? And I'm like, what? You think she wanted to go to the lobby and like
at night? Hang she was out already in night? Bed.
Like, yeah. yeah. So I'm like, wow. And then she pulls off to a pizza place, and this specific college women's soccer team is having pizza. And Jamie's like, oh my God, I know of them. They are hardcore lesbians. She says something like that. Yeah. Like, I don't remember what word she says. And they're going to have a basement party, and I'm going to get us invited. And so then we also do – there's another scene. We cut to the driveway store again, and the bad guy answers the phone and finds out that the girls didn't show up to deliver the car on time.
Yeah.
That is because Jamie wanted to make it into a trip where she tries to get laid and tries to get the other girl laid, yeah. so they kept stopping. And then I want to have a discussion about this part. So then we cut to the basement party. All the girls are making out with each other, even Marion, but she looks kind of like awkward doing it. And it's like a rotating makeout party.
Which is so weird. She okay. like blows the whistle and they're like, okay, next.
Okay, then maybe you're going to answer my question. Have yeah. you ever done this?
No.
Okay, I have. Like
you
a
have?
Lot.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay,
that's
share.
Why,
share.
That's why I was like, and you know what? When we watched this, I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. We used to do this all the time in high school, and my wife was
that
like,
is so
what?
Interesting.
That's weird. Yes. Okay.
Wow.
So we at my friend Tara's house, mm-hmm. there would be probably like 10 people. Mm-hmm. And I remember like there wasn't like a whistle, but it would just like everybody kind of would be like making right, out with one person next. And then slowly somebody would like move on to the next person, start making out with that oh. person. And then you're like, oh, okay. So it was like,
so then you rotate.
Yes.
To, okay, okay.
And so, I remember doing that, like a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought that was normal. I thought everyone did it. So I was like, well, no. you know what? This college soccer team or whatever did it. So I'm like that.
If I need out, then it's not like the pasta.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, everyone does that. Like everyone cuts their pasta like in two. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. So yeah. But then the thing that like gets like a little bit weird, I guess, is like when it comes to be the time for Jamie and Marion to make out, it's like, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of like looking into each other's eyes. And then I think Marion, like, I don't know. This was kind of hot to me. To me,
the kiss was hot. But I just Marion was you like,
"What was the hot part?" when Marion was like being awkward, and then she was like, "Yeah, like the Simpson on her lap." I was like, "Am I attracted to Margaret Qualley?" I think only right now. Only if
I do like Margaret Qualley. Like, I think she's very attractive. It's just the role, well, she's like so this. Tall. She is, but I feel like she plays a good way, but, lesbian, yeah, but well, not in this movie.
No,
like in general, I get what she's trying to do, but like, you know.
Well, and then we find out that she based her lesbian character off of a problematic man. So that's, but I don't know. I just thought the, come here, sit on my lap was like sexy. Anyway, so then they like make out and that was pretty cool. And so then we also see the bad guys. We cut to Suki's house and the bad guys came in because that's the number they got from the driveaway thing. And they ask Suki about Marion and Jamie and she like attacks them. And eventually she shows them a picture of Jamie and I don't know, I guess –
she's that's just good, like, go, now she
knows what, now, well, that's bad, but now the bad guys know what Jamie looks like because they didn't know before.
And she did not care. She was like, yeah, they're not my friends. Hurt them. And she's also a cop, so if there's not another reason to not like her. I don't know like if her.
They told us that yet, but yeah, she's
no,
a cop.
No, she had her uniform, or I saw, and I was like, she's a cop.
I forgot. And, okay, anyway. So then at the basement party, we're back there again. Marion runs off crying, and I was like, I think that's because she loves Jamie. Yeah. And then we see the bad guys talking to whoever their boss is on the phone. And the boss is like, you guys have to drive to Tallahassee. So now we know that they're going to be basically kind of chasing them. We see Marion walking by herself back to the hotel. And she gets stopped by a cop literally for no fucking reason. It's racism.
It is.
I feel like they were like, this is a brown person walking by themselves. And they arrest her. Which is crazy. She wasn't doing anything, because, but he didn't like her attitude.
She was like, I don't remember what house I came from. It was a basement party, like a slumber party. And he's like, you're too old for a slumber party. And then was like, she was like, oh my God, like what? Literally, she didn't even do anything. He was just like, I don't like you.
Yeah, yeah. So then we see her in jail because she got arrested. And she is like laying there, like maybe like sort of starting to drift off to like sleep. Like, and she's remembering when she was a little kid and she would jump on this trampoline so she could see this neighbor lady naked that would like tan naked in her yard. Then they cut to this weird like hippie sequence with Miley Cyrus. And Miley Cyrus is like, it's like, ooh, like it's like, I don't know. It's like weird hippie vibes with weird colors. And Miley Cyrus is like, hey, handsome, want to get plastered? So this is foreshadowing is what I wrote. This person that they have Miley Cyrus's character based on, the like plaster caster, was like a real person that like was like a kind of like a groupie in like the 70s, and she would like make plaster casts of like celebrities dicks or whatever. So they based Miley's little character off of that. Then we see the two bad guys driving and one gets a call that says Marion was picked up and arrested in Georgia. So they're like, okay, she's in Georgia. And then we cut to seeing Jamie and Marion, and Jamie had just picked Marion up from jail. And Jamie's like, you need to be better with people because you got arrested for having an attitude. And I was like, this is stupid because Jamie is white. And I feel like she is like obviously doesn't understand that it probably didn't matter if she had an attitude or not. He was like, who is this non-white woman walking in my town? And so anyway, then they see a sign for Gary Channel, who is a senator running for re-election. Very Republican vibes. And it's Matt Damon?
Yes.
It's Matt Damon.
It is.
Okay. And then the tire gets messed up and they like go off the road and they're trying to get a spare. And that's when they see that there's like a hidden briefcase under there in the trunk. And underneath that is a bag with like dry ice or whatever. And then Jamie's like, we shouldn't open the box. And I was thinking of Seven when Brad Pitt is like, what's in the box?
what's in the box?
Yeah, and you know, it was also a head. It was Pedro Pascal's slash head. Santos's head. So they're like, well, what the fuck? And then we cut to the soccer team house, and the bad guys, like, got there. They found out that they had hung out there. And so they are, like, asking them questions, and they're like, what were you doing last night? And they're like, we were making out. And they're like, who are you making out with? And they're like, ha ha ha, I don't know, it's just weird. And I also wrote, why is no one afraid of being hate crimed? And I feel like this maybe is me being old, but Trisha Cook is older than me, because I feel like kind of like a fear around like straight men. That I don't know, I wouldn't want to tell them, like, I was making out with all of my friends here. Like, I don't know, because I feel like there are too many stories of cishet men, like, raping and beating and killing lesbians or, like, women in general. So, anyway, they give them, like, an address to, oh, this is where Jamie and Marion were going to hang out at, but it's, like, not the right place. They end up going to the wrong place. So then we see Jamie and Marion at dinner. They're trying to get up the nerve to, like, open the briefcase, and they open it, and they're like, but they don't show you what it is yet. So you just see their reaction. And then they go to a hotel. And Jamie keeps talking about being a lesbian at the, like, front desk. She's like, is this a good place for lesbians? Because I'm a lesbian. And she has, like, a rainbow card or something. And she's like, this goes to the lesbians organization or whatever. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of funny. But so then Jamie decides to call Suki because she's a cop. And she tells them, Suki's like, oh, is this about the two guys that were, like, looking for you? And Jamie's like, what? No, I didn't know that. But also, I can help you break a murder case. Go to Curly's driveway and ask about the attaché slash briefcase. So she does end up checking it out at some point, but it doesn't come of anything because she's kind of a shitty cop. Like, literally, Curly is in there, like, on the ground after being beaten up.
She literally looks in the window and is just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, she's just like, Jamie leading me on a wild goose chase, like, basically. And so the bad guys end up finding out that the girls are at that hotel in Tallahassee because Jamie used her gay credit card. So they're, like, headed to go find them. And then Jamie and Marion are having dinner at, like, the nice restaurant that's, like, inside the hotel. And I was like, it's so a date. Like, it's giving date vibes.
It is.
And then Jamie's saying very sexual things and asking Marion to have sex with her right in front of the waiter. And I feel like that's so awkward.
Yeah. And surprisingly, Marion's just like, oh, my God, wait, what? Because she's like, I want to wine and dine you because I get the feeling you're not just like, go back to the hotel and have sex. Like, you, I care about you. You care about me. And that's the only way you're going to have sex.
Yes. So. Yes. And so then they dance and Jamie is going on and on about a giant dildo. And then Marion kisses her.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that conversation, but that's what I wrote. They're making out on the dance floor in Florida in 1999. And so crazy. I think that, again, maybe this is me. I wish I didn't have to feel afraid, but I would be afraid to be making out with my wife in Florida, even in now, 2025. Well, especially now because things are going backwards. Exactly. But, you know, I would have been scared in 1999 too.
Yeah.
And so then they go back to their room and they have sex. Jamie goes down on Marion and Marion falls asleep as soon as she comes. So,
like, instant.
Yeah, this is important because I feel like they're showing she's been, like, very, like,
it's been tightly years. Wound. That's why they said it's been years, and she. That's why Jamie was like, "We need to get you laid." Like, yes. Stat.
Yes. And so then we end up at some point seeing the main bad guy, or like the second to top bad guy, the boss of the two bad guys that are coming, is like on his way to Tallahassee. He like is in the back of like a fancy car and he tells the driver, wake me up when we get to Tallahassee. So we're like, oh, okay. So he didn't just send like the two like smaller bad guys. Less, he's set going himself. And so then we see another flashback of baby Marion watching the naked neighbor. And so we're like, okay, she's dreaming.
Yeah.
And the naked neighbor gets out of the pool and puts cowboy boots on her wet feet.
I know. I hated that part.
I was like, ew, what the? I don't know. That's so gross to me. I think she that's did gross not to even everyone.
Try it no. off. She just right out of the pool put her boots on, and I was like, oh.
I thought that was weird. And so then Marion wakes up, and she sees that Jamie is using a dildo on herself from the briefcase. So the briefcase, this is when we find out that the briefcase is full of dildos.
Yeah.
And she just, like, couldn't resist. She was like, I tried to wait for you, but I couldn't. And I feel like that's part of what, like, was so annoying. Like, oh, my God, you're, like, so, like, crazy over phallic-shaped things that you can't even wait for your girl that would have sex with you to wake up. Anyway, so then the bad guys show up, and they bust into the room, and they take the dildos and the head box. And then we go to another Miley Cyrus plaster caster flashback. And so basically what they're telling us is that Miley Cyrus, the plaster caster, made a plaster casted dildo of the senator guy, the Republican senator Gary Channels or whatever that they saw the sign for, of his dick. And so that we also find out is the one that's Jamie's fave and the one that she was using. And was like, oh my God.
It's She's like, I just can't help it because it's so good. It's just so crazy. It's the best dildo ever.
Yeah. And so then the bad guys realize that they're missing one, and they have the girls, like, in, like, a warehouse place, like, bound and gagged. And the bad guy explains the situation about the senator's penis being made into a dildo, and that that was the one that she used. And we also find out that Santos was a collector of dildos. And while this is happening, a housekeeper finds the dildo at the hotel and screams. So she's, like, making the bed, and she's like, ah! And so then the bad guys, like, freak out. One of them shoots the other two, and the girls are still, like, bound. And then he, like, tries to shoot them, but he ran out of bullets. Yeah. And then I think he, like, runs away.
He does.
Or does he kill himself? I can't remember.
No. No, he runs away, I think. Okay. Because he's just like, oh, fuck.
Yes, he just runs away. Okay. Yeah. Then the girls get out of being in the, like, bind, and they plan to go to the hotel and get the dildo. And then they show us this quick scene of Suki with the dog at the airport buying tickets to Tallahassee, because remember, she hates the dog. So she's like, I know where she is in Tallahassee, and I'm going to bring this dog to her. So Marion gets back to the hotel. She sees the dildo. It's on the counter, like, wrapped with a bow, which I think was really nice of the housekeeper.
She was mortified, but then she was like, okay.
She was like, oh, well. then we see Jamie calling the senator and being like, we need $1 million and we'll give you the dildo of your dick. Yeah. And then we see Jamie and Marion making out in the shower. And then Marion is like, I want to make love with the senator's penis.
Which is so, that's the part. It's that's like, a, why do you have to say the senator's dick?
It just bothered me. I don't know. I just thought it was so weird. Like, I don't know. I know that there are like porn stars that make like there's like molds of like their penis or like their like vagina. Yeah. Like it's like supposed to be just like Jenner Jane. That's the only porn star I know because she's really famous, but she's old. Oh, she's a lesbian now. Jenner Jane. But anyway, I don't know. I know that that's a thing. It just it wouldn't be a thing to me. And so, I'm just a judgmental lesbian. So then we cut to the lesbian bar. It's called She Shed. And the senator is sitting there with a briefcase waiting to meet Jamie and Marion. And he starts telling them about how, like, all of these penises belong to someone important, blah, blah, blah. He gives them the briefcase with the money. And then a biker lady comes up and invites them to a basement party. Yeah. And they say no. So I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Because I feel like she just wants to be, like, Jamie now just wants to be with Marion.
Yeah. She's like, no, not tonight.
Yes. And so then we see Suki coming into the dyke bar to bring the dog she hates for no reason and wants Jamie to take care of. And then, like, they're, like, all kind of, like, outside the bar.
Yeah.
And the senator had, like, left. But then he comes back up with, like, a mask and a gun, and he tries to shoot them. But
he tries to get his money back.
Yeah. Like, it's like, okay. Girl, you're – well, guy, whatever. Senator, you're rich. Like, just let them. They're millionaires
now. He didn't
want
to let it slide. He's like, I got my dildo back, and I'm also getting my money back.
Yes. So. And so he tries to shoot them, but Suki shoots him first. Yeah. And then like the head comes out of the thing because when he got shot, he like dropped it or something, or whoever had head box, like the head dropped and then like it's rolling and then like the dog is chasing it. And so So, like, that's pretty cool because, like, they made $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. The senator was exposed.
Yeah. Okay. And then we cut to Marion and Jamie at brunch, and they're reading, like, the newspaper, and it talks about the senator being in trouble. And then Marion is like, I'm so sad. I wish we made a copy of his penis, though.
She's like, it was so good.
Perfect. And Jamie's like, I made 2 copies. And I was like, why? Hers and hers. This man's penis.
Yeah. Okay.
So I literally wrote that. I was like, so weird that they're so obsessed with this man's penis.
Literally.
So then they finally meet Aunt Ellis. The whole reason that they were going to Tallahassee was so that Marion could hang out with her Aunt Ellis. And then the aunt asks, like, oh, like, where are you going to go after this or something? Mm-hmm. And Jamie is like, we're going to go to Massachusetts because women can get married there to each other. And so I'm like, whoa. This is very lesbian of her, though. I'm like, very she just, U-Holly. Like, finally, like, got with her, and now she's that, like, I'm gonna marry her.
The dildo was their, like, wedding ring, because she's like, hers and hers. Hers and hers. Now let's go get married.
Yes. Okay, so then they're, like, driving away in the, like, with the aunt to go sightsee or whatever. And the valet guy tries to give them their bag with the dildos in it because apparently they forgot it. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure they're coming back because
they're obsessed with it.
They're obsessed with it. So they're definitely not going to leave their 2 copies of the senator's dick. So anyway, then as they're like driving away, they show us like that it says Driveaway Dolls, but then it changes to Dykes because they were going to originally call it that. And I just think that's dumb because I feel like I don't feel like people that are not like actually lesbians and have the struggles that come with being a lesbian should be using the word dyke, because it's kind of like, I mean, it is a slur. It's not kind of like a slur, but like, I just feel like it's weird that a straight man and his wife wanted to name their movie Driveaway Dykes. It's giving very fetishizing lesbians, and it bugs me. And I know it's supposed to be campy, but I still critique it. So that was the end. They got to be millionaires, which is great. And they got to have 2 copies of that man's penis.
They're probably going to get married.
And get it. Oh, and probably they're going to get married.
They're taking Aunt Ellis along for the ride.
Yes, I know. She was like, oh,
she's okay.
So anyhow, now the moment we've all been waiting for, our version of fuck, marry, kill, munch, merge, murder. So the options are Jamie, Marion, and Suki. What would you do? I keep making you go first. Sorry.
I know. I'm like, let me think. Automatically off the bat, I'm killing Suki because I dislike her.
She's a bad person. She doesn't even like dogs.
Yeah.
And she's a domestic abuser.
And she's just, I don't like her. Anyways, but other than like in real life, Beanie, I like her. But in this character, no.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard because I do think Jamie is attractive. But I do like Marion too.
I know.
But I think I'm going to kill Jamie and merge with Marion. I mean, no.
You're going to kill 2 people?
I'm sorry. I'm going to munch Jamie and merge with Marion.
You're like, I hate everyone.
I'm like, I'm going to kill Suki and Jamie.
Double homicide.
Oh, my God. Okay, what about you?
Okay, I think that, yeah, the only character that I sort of like-ish is Marion.
Yeah.
I am not really that attracted to her because, as we know, I have a type, and Jamie fits that type more because she's giving like a little bit mask in this. But I like Marion's personality more, so I would merge with Marion. I would munch Jamie, and I would also kill Suki, even though I love Beanie.
You mean you don't want to kill Jamie too?
I would, if I could kill 2. No. I think that's what I'll stick with. Okay, so we're going to rate the movie. What would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5 cherries?
A 1 out of 5.
Me too. Yeah. You know, if we were still doing 0.5s, I almost would give it a 1.5.
Would you? I would give it a 0 if I could, but we do 1 out of 5.
I hated it a little less. But I'm not rounding up to a 2 because I don't think it's good enough for a 2. Therefore, it's a 1.
It's a 1, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like it. So, oh my God, samesies. So if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram or TikTok. Or Blue Sky. We just made a Blue Sky.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get used to that. Also, Lemon 8. We made that, too. Yeah. So follow us on there if you use either of those or any of those. We're on all of the platforms. And if you follow, you'll be able to stay up to date with our newest episodes and our hottest takes. Right now, we're going to take a second little break, and then we'll come back for our WLW history segment.
Welcome back and get ready for our next segment, WLW History. So the unknown fate of gay marriage, which is very relevant right now and not in a good way.
No. And no. It's kind of – I forgot that it's actually sort of relevant to this movie because at the end she's like, we're going to go to Massachusetts.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I was going to add that in there, but I was like, no, once we like go through the recap, we'll be like, wait. It's
yes.
So, yeah.
Well, it worked out perfectly.
Exactly. So 10 years ago, the fight for gay marriage in the U.S. was won. In the Obergefell versus Hodges case, the Supreme Court voted to federally legalize gay marriage on June 26, 2015. Yay! But also not that long ago.
So. Yeah.
This required all states to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, regardless of the specific state's opinion.
Yes. So before this decision, gay marriage was legal in some states. So like what Jamie mentioned in the movie, it was legal in Massachusetts first, which makes sense because that's where Provincetown is, which is literally like the gayest town. I've never been there, but I'd like to go. but I've never been. I think there's so many like gay people in Massachusetts. And it's also so – it's a very liberal state, like a lot of the East Coast is.
Yeah.
I have on here that they legalized gay marriage in 2003, but I want to – somebody fact check me because this movie was supposed to be in 1999 and she said that women were allowed to get married in Massachusetts. So I'm like confused.
Maybe they were allowed – oh, because you know there's like the domestic partnership. So maybe that's maybe what they wanted to do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So – it's no surprise that our community has faced a lot of inequity throughout the years, especially when it has to do with marriage rights. So Angelina and I are from California, and most people view it as a very progressive state, which it is, but it has a rocky history with same-sex marriage rights. So basically, like, the first time that gay people were kind of able to get married in California was in the city of San Francisco in 2004. The mayor was Gavin Newsom at the time. He's now our governor. He basically like directed the clerks at the city to start issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. He was like, it's fine, just do it.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people got married, which is really cool. But the marriages ended up being voided at some point because the feds, whatever, were like, he didn't have the authority to do that. Yeah. And so they said no. And then it was legalized for like a really short time in 2008. May 2008. And so I remember that happening. I want to say that this is when Ellen and Portia got married, but they might have gotten married in 2004, but then it was like voided and then they did it again. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I just remember, okay, because I've said how old I am before. So I was 18 in 2008.
Yeah.
So I remember that people were getting married in like early 2008, but then this Proposition 8 came out, which was like a huge deal. It was a proposition, literally the point of it was to ban gay marriage in California. And so it was introduced that same year, 2008, and it fucking passed. And I remember being so upset because I, like most people from outside of California and a lot of people from California, thought like, this is California. Like,
how did it pass?
San Francisco is here. LA is here. Like, I know that, like, there are, like, really red pockets, but the very heavily populated areas are, like, pretty gay. So I was like, how the fuck is this gonna pass? And also, this was, like, fucked up for me because this would have been the first time I was allowed to vote, but this is when I moved to New Hampshire for 6 months. And so I moved August of 2008 and I moved back in February 2009. So I missed being able to vote. I also didn't get to vote for Obama in the first election because I had moved at like a weird time and I didn't register to vote fast enough. I don't know. I was 18. I was stupid. but also just want to say we found out that gay marriage was not legalized in Massachusetts until 2004. So it's just another stupid thing about this movie. They were wrong
they
about
were
that.
They were wrong about
like,
literally.
Way wrong. Like 5 years wrong.
Yeah.
Idiots. Because the people that made it are not gay. So why the fuck would they know about it? Exactly. They don't care.
They're like, it sounds like it's an okay time.
Yeah,
they can
it's
do
probably
it.
Fine.
Yeah.
And so Prop 8 passed. That was crazy. The fight continued as many people in California argued Prop 8 was unconstitutional, and a judge in 2010 agreed and Prop 8 was overturned, but it didn't automatically give Californians the right to marry. The determination was actually stayed until 2013.
Yeah.
So there were quite a few states before us.
There were, which is so surprising when you would think like, okay, California, you know, we're a little behind here, but
yeah.
So as we all know, or if you didn't know, the Supreme Court has been formally asked to revisit its ruling on gay marriage by none other than Kim Davis, the former county clerk that literally got in trouble for denying same-sex couples their marriage licenses because she's like, oh my God, this is against my beliefs in the Bible. And I've been married 4 times. It's okay though, because I'm a straight woman.
So. I've been married 4 times, but it's okay because it's to men.
Yeah, it's totally okay. Like, okay, girl. But which is so crazy. They're like, that's just so crazy. That
also,
she's like,
if we should be like making things illegal, can we make her weird 80s bangs like illegal? Because why is she still rocking these 80s bangs in like 2025?
She's stuck in a certain time.
Yeah.
But
gross.
So, I mean, some people would find this surprising. Others may not find this surprising at all because after Roe versus Wade, we all knew other rulings were coming to be revisited as well, which sucks.
For real.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people saying that I was being dramatic, that they're not going to come for gay marriage, you know, like my family that voted for Trump being like, this is not a vote against you. I'm like, how is this not a vote against me? I'm a lesbian married to a lesbian Mexican American woman.
Yeah.
You voted for someone that fucking hates Mexicans and is literally trying to take people who were born here and somehow get rid of their citizenship and also get rid of gay marriage.
Like, and just women in general.
And just women's rights. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Crazy. So last year, California voted to protect gay marriage rights with Prop 3, and that was a constitutional amendment that I don't know. I think this word is pronounced codify, but I think it should be codify. It's codify. So it codifies the right to marry regardless of sex or race. So we are safe in California, but other states are at risk of not being able to get married if the Supreme Court decides to overturn Obergefell versus Hodges and give it back to the states, give the power back to the states to decide. Like, think of all of the states that didn't want to give gay people the right to marry in the first place 10 years ago. They're
going just
to
waiting.
Go back.
It's, yeah.
And so this would be obviously a huge step backwards for our community and for the country as a whole. And the fight for LGBTQ rights is not over. And that unfortunately still includes fighting for our right to marry that we literally got 10 years ago. And we have to fight for it again. Like, it's constant. So, anywho,
so
that's
this story. this segment obviously is very close to both of us being lesbian women, but especially for you because you and Hua are married. So you guys got married in 2023. I was going to say 2003.
When I was 13.
Yeah. You guys got married. Did you worry that you wouldn't be able to get married under the Trump administration? Was that like the main?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of like why we got married. I mean, like we love each other and we knew that we were going to like be together forever. But we never like wanted to have a wedding. And so we were like engaged technically since 2020, but we were engaged in our hearts since 2013 or whatever, right?
So cute.
But like we decided to actually do it, to just elope in 2023 because we knew that the Trump administration was going to probably happen again. Yeah. And we were scared that they would take the right away before we could do it. Yeah. So that is a big part of why we did it.
And let me just say you were valid for that because look at now.
And people told me I was being dramatic. And I was like, we were right.
You're like, really? Was I dramatic?
Yeah.
So what was your experience with Prop 8? You mentioned you were 18 at the time.
Yeah. Well, it was such a big deal to me because I remember, I don't know if you remember this because you were like a kid, but
I only remember it being like, vote yes for Prop 8.
Yes, the
vote
bumper no for stickers.
I remember everyone saying Prop 8 and I was like, I have no idea what this is. So I asked my mom and she was just like explaining to me and I was like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously I was 8, but I was still like, that's crazy. And she was just like, it is crazy because why do we care?
Yes. Like, I remember and I saw someone like literally like last year that still had a bumper sticker, a yes on Prop 8 bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker was what I remember seeing in 2008. It was, I feel like it was kind of yellow, but, and it had like a man and a woman like stick figure or whatever. And it's like, yes on Prop 8, protect traditional marriage or protect traditional families. And I was like, ew. And also I want to tell you in 2008, this was when I was just a very strong ally.
Yeah. I was going to say you were a very upset ally.
I was so upset, even though it would not impact me. This was also the same time period where I found out that some states didn't allow gay couples to adopt, and I was really upset about it. And my stepdad was like, well, I don't think gay couples should be able to adopt. And I was like,
God.
What? And he was like, well, yeah, because it's not normal. Like, kids should grow up with something normal. And I got really mad and I stormed upstairs and like slammed the door. Anyway, like 6 months later when I came out, he's like, oh, is that why you were so mad? And I was like, well, I would have been mad even if it didn't affect me. Wow. But I was extra mad because I was like, oh, you don't think I deserve to have a family?
That's crazy. He's like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, you were just a lesbian. So that's what you were mad at when I said.
I'm like, I was mad no matter what. Also, I thought it was crazy because, and you know, just because you have someone in your family that is like gay or whatever doesn't mean that you are accepting, but I would hope that he would have a better understanding. He has a trans brother who transitioned in like the 80s or 90s. And so I thought he, of all people, would be like more like accepting, but he wasn't. So anyway, that I couldn't vote on it and I was shocked that it passed.
I don't blame you, but that must,
Yeah, crazy.
So I know it's kind of hard, but do you have any advice to our viewers on how to survive the Trump administration as a woman and a lesbian?
Well, my first advice is if you are thinking about marrying your partner already, not if you just met somebody and you're like
let's go get married now.
No, but like if you've been together for a while and you've been thinking like, we want to get married, you know, for whatever reasons. If it's like legal reasons, that's completely valid. That's a lot of why we got married because, like, you know, why does a piece of paper matter so much? We love each other. We know we're going to be together forever. But like, it does matter because it's like we have a home together. Yeah. We have animals together. I want to be the family that they call when she's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, because we got in a car accident and they were like technically not allowed to tell me what was going on with her. They had to ask her parents before we were married. So it was like weird. Do it if you are already contemplating it because they might take it away, especially if you're in a state not like California where it's been protected. And other than that, I feel like we just have to keep having hope and like
sharing our truth and, you know, being like honest and not, I talked about a lot about being afraid of like hate crimes and stuff, which I am afraid, but I also think it's important if you're safe to be like the voice and like, especially like for younger people too, that may be even more scared. Like, just try to have hope, I guess.
That's hard, but try to have hope. Yeah, this is really the only thing we can do and survive these next years if, you know.
Yeah, we'll see how
this many. This doesn't turn into a dictatorship, guys.
I know. Everybody keeps being like, oh, it's only 3 more years. And I'm like, I don't think they have Trump
2028 hats.
Yes, I don't think they're going to give it up. So, anywho, that's, I hope. Yes. But, did you have any other thoughts that you wanted to share about this? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I think what you said was good, especially if you are in a state that there's a fear that you might not be able to get married if gay marriage, the ruling is overturned, especially if you are already thinking about it. Like Caitlin said, don't just, you know, go out and marry somebody randomly. Because, you know, but I think that is good advice. And just to, if you are in a safe space, that's important to be able to be who you are and to use your voice and use your privilege if you're a white person or white passing. It does not matter. You still have privilege.
Use whatever privilege that you have.
Exactly.
That was another thing that I've been hearing about in California. Yeah. White women putting like Mexican flags or something on their cars to like distract ICE because ICE is obviously being racist. Like they're just like, oh, this person has a Mexican flag. Oh, this person is brown. Oh, this person's listening to Mexican music.
Oh, they're speaking Spanish.
And so it's, so I need to, well, no, I can't do that because my wife is Mexican. I was like, oh, no, you can't do that. My car. No, that wouldn't work. never mind. But use your privilege for good.
Exactly.
So anywho, this episode might have ran a little long, but I think we covered really important topics, even though we also covered a movie we hated.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for tuning in to But I'm a Lesbian. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform. Yes, all of them. Leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review because our reviews are like really low there. Because like I've said in other ones, I feel like homophobes found our thing by just searching like gay or lesbian because before we even started, they bombed our ratings. And anyway, I mean, if you really don't like us for a valid reason, I understand. But if you're just being homophobic, please don't give us a one. Please help support us by doing that if you can. You know, the algorithm is a bitch and we're just two lesbians with mics out here trying to survive.
And don't miss next week's episode as it vaguely ties in with this one. We will be discussing the second in this three-part lesbian B trilogy called Honey Don't.
See you next Tuesday. Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.